Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, Avzamath Ashram will be telling us a little bit about OCD, Parkinson's, meditation. So, you do meditation programs for people with OCD and Parkinson's. Can you tell me a little about that?
Yes. So, what happened is, this is something which we have done only after the COVID-19 started. And we noticed that there was somebody who was known to us, and a couple working in the IT industry in the US who had returned back to India, and the woman was a person with OCD, and she had a tendency to wash her hands several times during the day, and due to the corona, every media house was saying that wash your hands, and if you make a phone call, there are caller tunes for wash your hands and like that. So for a person with OCD, it was doubly problemsome, because in any case, she was washing her hands frequently. Now due to corona, this new thing started. So her skin of the palms were peeling off. She could not even work on her typewriter, on a keyboard. So that's when I realized that it's quite problematic. So we started doing meditation, online meditation for her. That's how we began.
So
we did for 21 days with her, and then we opened it to everybody.
So, what are some of the benefits of meditation and things like art for someone with OCD?
Well, the benefits are actually general and they are for everybody. So, with OCD, people with OCD, the benefits are same as they would be for other people. Now, OCD people, they have their own peculiar problems. Like I mentioned about washing hands and other stuff. Having anxiety, not being able to eat. If they eat something, they would like to throw up. So, the meditation makes somebody live life slow. How to lead everything slow, breathe slow breathing, slow chanting, and various breathing exercises. So, when we do these breathing exercises, then the body, the rhythm of the body itself becomes slow. And that makes a person feel calm.
So,
and handle the issues of anxiety and depression.
So, how do you go about reaching out to those who could benefit from this meditation and your work, just to let them know that this might be of benefit for them?
We did not reach out to very many people, but a lot of OCD people started contacting us afterwards through word of mouth and otherwise. And similarly for Parkinson's patients also. We do these online meditations for people with Parkinson's as well.
So, with Parkinson's, what are some of the benefits they might enjoy?
Okay, about an hour ago, I was chatting with somebody, and this person said that I can't open my mouth appropriately, and my pronunciations are not clear, and my job involves talking. And especially there are issues when the alphabet R comes after some other alphabet, pronouns, proverbs. So there's a problem in speaking with them. So in meditation, we do chanting also of mantras. So when we chant these mantras, there is a specific mantra called Maheshwar Sutra. It's a foundational mantra for the grammar of Sanskrit. Where all of the alphabets, there are 74 sounds in that mantra, and the alphabets in any language, not just Indian language, but any language, are approximations of those sounds. And so if you practice that, it's like having a, if you are not eating balanced food and you are not getting sufficient vitamins, we should take proper multivitamin pill in the morning, just like having all of the vitamins. So the benefit is that you get to exercise. In meditation, in this particular meditation, we chant a particular mantra. So the mouth gets exercised, the tongue gets sufficient exercise for them to recover their speech. So the mantra is like this. Like this. So all the sounds are coming.
So you were mentioning something about a new art program you're going to be doing. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so we run international artist residencies for those people who are spiritual artists or spiritually who want to do something creative within the spiritual realm. And we leave the definition of spirituality to them. So we are creating a particular program where people with disabilities, they can participate in the program, a 4-week long program, alone or with their caregivers and their partners in an artist residency program. As long as their disabilities are of such a nature that it allows international travel and it allows them to be able to do things, or live in a different place. As such, most commonly these things, they come to mind are neurological issues, people who have neurological issues, but then we are open to anybody.
So, in your time doing this work for the disability community, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
So this, as I said, that we are not working only for disability issues. This is something we started doing only during COVID-19. We did have people who have stayed with us a few years ago, like a couple who was visually impaired. But that was not a conscious strategy that we had to have such people. Now in Corona, we have started this. So I can't think of any specific benefits, but it gives them a family environment. That's one benefit. They know that they will not be seen feeling awkward because they are going to a place which is expecting the artist to be having disability.
So, if you could send any message to the community about why this work matters, what would you say?
Can you please say again?
If you could send any message to the community about why there should be inclusion of people with disabilities in things like meditation and the arts, what would you say?
Sometimes when there's a disability, a person experiences a new disability which was possibly not there at the time of birth. If a person, I'm just giving an example, if a person faces a disability which comes later in life, then there is also, because there is a balance, so there is some new ability also that comes into a person. Fine, but this new ability that comes into compensation is difficult to realize each day before it is celebrated. When a disability, what is the new ability which has come? And that can be done when a disability comes to a person, especially if the disability is not by birth. Then there is some new ability also that comes in. The nature, there's a grand, in the grand scheme of the nature, there's a balance. If there's a disability that comes to a person, then some new ability is also there which comes. But finding that ability, this new ability, is a challenge, which could be explored and found and celebrated in a creative environment. So to go to an artist residency, if the person who is newly disabled, he or she has an opportunity to dive deeper into his own self or her own self and explore and fish out this new ability which could be there, like people start to do painting when they have no disability, but they may not be a painter by training. So that is one benefit of such a creative process or artist residency.
Right, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, Cam.
In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Deb Lemke, will be telling us about Calabogie Adaptive Snow Sports. So, can you tell me a little bit about your work in adaptive snow sports?
I've been the director of the Calabogie program for over 9 years now. I teach as well as administer the club itself, so I'm very involved in being hands-on and also behind the scenes.
So, what types of adaptations do you make to the snow sports themselves for someone with a disability?
Presently, we have sit skis, which are like a modified bucket. It's almost like a wheelchair on a set of skis, but sometimes it's two skis, sometimes it's a single ski, and you just basically put the individual into that sit ski and you tether it down the hill. When I say tether, it's attached to reins like a horse.
So,
and other modifications could be outriggers for people that have got mobility issues with one leg. They can basically use the outriggers with holding them in their hands. They're a lot like a crutch, but with a ski on the bottom. As well, we do tethering of just stand-up skiers. So somebody that has a cognitive disability, you don't want them to get away from you on the hill, or you want to keep control. You can put a tether around their waist on a belt, like a mountain climbing belt.
So I'd imagine that with the tethering, it has to be well coordinated for both the person in the lead and the person with the cognitive disability.
You're absolutely right, and we basically put two instructors out per individual so that we can have somebody that's blocking behind them to make sure that nobody cuts in front of them or gets tangled into the tethers. It is a little bit of coordination and a lot of calling out the turns, like left, right, right, left, or just turn, just so that you're both in sync and both communicating.
So, how do you go about reaching out to the disability population to let them know that your work exists?
We have a waiting list, so we've never had to have really an issue with finding people to be part of our program. We've almost had to turn some people away, and we always are very disappointed by that. But that's driven by, you know, if I don't have somebody that's qualified, because we do internal training and we have certifications. So somebody that was tethering a sit ski would have to have their level 1 or level 2 with CATS.
So what are some of the most common adaptations that you do make?
A lot of it is the tethering by the waist or just using the sit skis. So those are some of the most common adaptations that we do. Not so much using sliders or outriggers right now, but each club is different. There is like one club in Ottawa that is for visually impaired. We've had, you know, limited number of people coming up for visually impaired. It could be because that's such a strong club and we're not that far away from them.
So I was actually going to ask about that. What adaptations can be made for someone with a vision impairment?
Well, you can use, if it's a smaller person, like I know I took a 3-year-old out and we used a hula hoop. And he just held on to the hula hoop and we talked all the way down the hill, calling out his turns and what to expect in terms of bump or, you know, there's terrain, or we're going over, you know, we're going down a hill, or we're going across the hill, we're getting on the chairlift, that type of thing.
So, do you ever encounter any myths or misperceptions about whether someone with a disability can get out and enjoy these sports?
I'm pretty sure that there is a general, because I think that we are very well received, and our program's very well received, and it helps educate people, and people are kind of proud that we have such a strong program. But I think you're right. I think there are some misconceptions or misbeliefs that people with a disability can't be active or can't be outside enjoying. And, you know, for us, for our students, we're a once a week program. Some programs run, you know, for an hour. We run for 2 hours once on a Sunday. The fact is that they get to get out, and they're not shut in all winter is just huge.
So, in your time with Calabogie, what's been the greatest success moment you've experienced?
I think when I took out my little fellow that was having vision impairment, that was very rewarding, as well as just seeing the group, you know, pass certifications makes you pretty proud.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs like this and equal inclusion of people with disabilities, what would you say?
Oh, I think that we need more of it, and that people should, if they can, volunteer to help out. You know, you don't have to be a great skier, because the program focuses on giving you the skills as well to be a good skier, so then you can focus on your student. But it's a very rewarding, and the smiles are just tremendous, so they warm your heart for sure.
So, I'd like to ask about one of the earlier points when you talked about only having one leg with any sort of strength in it.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, I'd imagine that for someone who, for example, has an acquired disability, it's really a great thing to find out that they can just still be out there and still live an active lifestyle.
You know, you're absolutely right. We've had a couple people that were that come out, like, we do there's a soldiering, a winter sports clinic for soldiering on, and that's held with the military, with veterans. And, you know, some of it is cognitive, some of it is physical. And you're absolutely right. It gives a new meaning to their lives to be able to do something together or do something with a family and just not focus always on the disability.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
So you're hanging with your inner circle. Maybe you're making cocktails. Maybe you're packing bowls. Even while we're distancing, it's important to remember, alcohol and cannabis each mess with your driving skills. Be cool. Make sure you and your friends get home safe. Take a cab if you need to. A few bucks could save a life. And we can do it again next weekend. A message from Arrive Alive, Drive Sober.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Absimuth Ashram told us a little bit about OCD, and Deb Blimke told us a little bit about Calabogie. I figured I'd end today's show I'm playing some excerpts from the recent ICHA Fishing Derby.
This is Cam Wells here with
Elsa and Anna.
And they're going to be telling me a little little bit about what it's like to be back after 2 years away from the ICHA Fishing Derby.
We'd like to thank all our photographers here today.
So what's it like being back after
Mario Benvenuto is here?
Oh, it's so much fun. All the fish that are being caught, they haven't stopped biting. It's wonderful.
Great job, buddy.
So, what is
it's something
all the photographers except for one.
It's something that's very close to my heart and very important for us to support here at EA Parties.
I love you still, Phil.
So, have there been any challenges in coordinating the event that you've seen?
I don't think so. Everything actually runs very smoothly.
With a summer look.
So, in your time doing this, as you've been doing this a few years now, what's been the most rewarding aspect for you?
I think all the smiling faces are my favorite.
Okay. Smiling faces. Good time, having fun, catching their fish, and seeing their face when you see how big it is. Oh, I love it.
So, since this is your first year here, how do you feel about being out supporting the ICHA and our work in the disability community?
Oh, I love it. I think it's wonderful. Like, getting everybody out there and having a good time and catching the fish. And just like I said, seeing this, their smiling faces and how happy they are when they catch the fish. Yeah, I love it.
These fish are
really happy.
Enthusiastic.
So, do you see yourself coming back?
Slowing down a little bit.
Events?
We need to sing the fishy song again, everybody.
Yes.
All right, we need to hear more voices.
So if you could send any message
to
the community
sing,
about why
the
this
water.
Work matters, what would you say? So, if you could send any message to the community about why this work matters, what would you say?
Very good.
I think it matters because it's bringing fun and happiness, and you get to learn a new skill.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
Huge perch is coming.
Thank you both very much for taking the time out.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
It's Cam Wells here with
Sergeant Tim Diebel.
He's going to be telling us a little bit about what led him out here in his role as a Mountie to support the ICHA Fishing Derby. So what brings you out here today?
I was approached by Pat Pagano many years ago, and we struck up a conversation, and he was telling me all about the wonderful event that the ICHA is. And so I came out in 2014, I think was my first year here. And been proud to be a participant and volunteer to support such a wonderful event every year since.
So how have you seen it grow over time?
It's nice to see the same people back year after year and the new faces as well. So it keeps getting bigger every year. There's more volunteers, there's more participants, and it just is a fantastic event all around.
So do you find the environments inclusive enough for persons with disabilities?
What do you mean by the environment? Just down here?
Yes, just having people coming together, being a part of things, regardless of how they move or how they might fish.
Yeah, it's an activity that everybody, with some challenges can deal with.
And
you know what, we have
television.
Lots of volunteers
so
to help everyone down
Please
here to keep everybody
out.
Safe,
one, two,
which
three,
is the number one
four.
Priority.
Fish,
but it's wonderful
fish,
to have somebody organize fish, an event fish, like this.
Fish,
so
fish,
what's been the greatest fish, success fish, you've seen?
I think there was a gentleman just about 20 minutes ago caught a 10-pound buffalo carp. And the whether it's a 10-pound fish or a small fish, it doesn't matter. It's just wonderful to see the expressions on people's faces when they're catching something and just enjoying the fishing activity.
So, if you could send any message to the community about why events like this need to continue and need to expand, what would you say?
I think it's just important for people to get out, enjoy themselves, and have a good time. And that's what this event is all about. And it's wonderful, the community coming together to support people from all walks of life and people from all over to just enjoy an activity on a wonderful day.
And we have
Thank
another
you
fish.
Much. Thank
another verse.
This is Cam Wells here with
Salo Lavignan from Canadian Sport
all
Fishing.
Right.
So
all right.
We're back again in this year's ICHA Fishing Derby.
Ready, two,
How's it feel to be back after all this time?
Well, it's been 4 years. You can hear the music in the background and see all the smiling faces. It's wonderful to see old friends, both from the ICHA organization that's putting on this event and also all of the participants, young and old. It's just wonderful to see everybody back out in such a beautiful day today.
So what is it that keeps you coming year after year?
It's just support. supporting a community event that's probably the biggest event in Canada, where people that don't necessarily get a chance to fish, like most of us do, can come out for the day, enjoy fishing, everything is provided, even safety with personal people, volunteers that take care of them and bait their hooks and take the fish off, and also the entertainment and the food, and everything is provided. Such a wonderful event.
So, do you find this year's event comparable to previous years? Do you find that people are enjoying it to the level they did before COVID?
Yes, definitely. I think maybe they're appreciating it more because we didn't have the event for 4 years. I know 4 years ago we had a rain out, so the 1 year had to be canceled, and then COVID hit. But from talking to the people, some new ones and some that I've seen here over the years, I've been coming to the event for about 19 years, only missed 1 year when it was running, you know. So I think the people are as excited as ever to be able to be back out, not have to wear masks, and be able to just get together and enjoy some time together.
So,
what's the most rewarding aspect for you of being out here?
Seeing the faces, the smiles, and the laughs from the people that are catching the fish, even if they're small fish that are 4 inches long, and seeing their expressions when they weigh them in and when they get prizes. At the end of the day, that's probably the best satisfaction.
So, everybody wants to
what would you tell the community about why these events matter and the importance of them?
They matter because it's helping people that wouldn't otherwise be able to get out and have such a wonderful day. I call it a celebration, where they can come out and they feel celebrated and they can enjoy fresh air and everything provided for them. So I would hope that more of the community in the Windsor area and even here in southwestern Ontario would come out and support it because it's such a wonderful event.
So you see this continuing for years to come and continuing to expand then?
Yes, I do. And you can see every year, even now, we're almost running out of room. You can walk all the way down. It's probably about, 300 yards of people fishing, which is wonderful. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
An event like the ICHA Fishing Derby brings out the best in the community, I think. Brings people together to see in a very public way that persons with disabilities should be included in community activities. Thing is, sometimes we think of disability sort of in a compartment. Think of it as a group of people you wouldn't see in your everyday lives. The truth is, people with disabilities, part of every family, every community, they're a gift to society. Truth, my friends, is no matter who we are or where we're coming from, at some point in our lives, we're going to encounter someone with a disability. It all depends on our frame of reference, how ready we are for that moment. The condition may be overt, may be obvious, something we can understand, something we can process, or it may be something that we encounter as we get to know a person. That shouldn't change how we perceive that person. Shouldn't change the fact that they are someone worthy of our time. Coming together, regardless of how they move, or speak, or see, or hear, or think, is really one of the most important things. Having able-bodied fishermen alongside fishers with disabilities really gives a chance to work in common cause, to create something together, is to build for a better future. And honestly, as a community, we're stronger for events like this. Past couple of years, there haven't been as many opportunities as was covered in these interviews. People are glad to see these doors opening. For a person with a disability who just has this to look forward to, it'd be a life-changing thing. But I ask, should not a person of any ability be included in any event they choose to attend? The fact is, we are all people entitled to consideration and respect. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.